You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This week's episode of the On Brand Podcast is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Pre-order now at GetScrappyBook.com for the best price and special bonuses, including digital extras, free VIP passes to the Social Brand Forum, and more. Even a free keynote from me. Learn more and pre-order now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Maddie Osman. Maddie is a digital marketer who has a passion for blogging. Her lifestyle blog, ChicagoCheapAss.com, shows young adults how to find the best deals and values in Chicago. If you're interested in learning how to be more effective with your own blog, check out her website, TheBlogsmith.com. That's The-Blogsmith.com. Maddie, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
This is very exciting. We knew each other live and in person, and then more virtually, and now here we are virtually and occasionally in person again as well. So I am fascinated by, and I just love saying, ChicagoCheapAss.com. So why don't you tell folks a bit about kind of your couple different hats, because you have, I would assume, like many out there, kind of have a couple of different brands that you work to kind of keep going. And one is kind of your own brand that I think has to be something of, I always think when I talk to someone like you, you know, you have a couple of plates spinning at a time. And that's also probably a lot like your test kitchen for the work that you're doing elsewhere, where you are helping individuals, businesses build their own brands through blogging at theblogsmith.com. So why don't you take us through those two worlds, what you do and how you do it?
Sure. So I'd say that's definitely a very astute observation, just because that was my initial thought with Chicago Cheap Ass, to kind of test a concept, learn a little bit more about online marketing, which has always been a passion of mine. At the time when I first started it, I was actually in a sales role, and being kind of a newbie out of college, I always saw that as a foot in the door sort of job to the different companies that I was really interested in working with. But, you know, obviously there was something else that I wanted to do and get better at, and I saw initially Chicago Cheap Ass as being kind of a way to enter a different world of marketing and of a different kind of career. So it definitely is, it's definitely something where I try to do crazy things. Obviously it's kind of in the name, Chicago Cheap Ass. It is fun to say. So going over from Chicago Cheap Ass to the Blogsmith has become, I guess, more of a serious project where I try to use that to actually get business. So Chicago Cheap Ass is more for fun. It's kind of me giving back to the world. Like, here's all these cool deals that I find, you know, here's different events and restaurants that are awesome that won't break the bank. And then the Blogsmith is more, okay, let's get down to business. You know, this is how you can make a better blog for yourself. If you're a digital marketer who's interested in bringing a blog to your own projects, you know, you'll find good resources there. And even as a small business owner, if you're just trying to navigate the complicated infrastructure, I guess, of the internet and getting good traffic that's qualified, then that's kind of what I try to also share best practices on the Blogsmith as well.
You know, it's I do want to capture one thing that you said in there, kind of in reference to my pointing out of the name Chicago Cheap Ass, and you said it is fun to say, and I think that that's worth highlighting and bold facing a little bit, because I think that, you know, naming, we've had a few different shows on here talking about naming, and we were fortunate enough to have the man behind the BlackBerry name about a year ago, and he's named other things for Subaru and just thinking about that, and we'll link up to that episode as well in the show notes. But I think that, you know, not enough emphasis. I wanted to call that out because I think not enough emphasis is put on making sure that it's fun to say, because, you know, take something like the BlackBerry, and, you know, he was talking about, I think if you think for a bit, we can imagine, you know, naming meetings, because we've all been in them, and what the, you know, phone, email combo names should have been. And, you know, there's a lot of things, and sometimes just being blunt about it, you know, it makes me think of, you know, I was fortunate enough a few years ago to do to help the President's Jobs Council on a project that was naming a program that was an advanced manufacturing job skills accelerator. And it was that was really kind of the pile of words that the name almost became. And, you know, one of my first contributions was, you know, getting it over to, you know, I left the meeting and I thought it's really about making sure that people have the right skills now. So I said, right skills now. That's what it should be. And I think these blunt names that can also be fun to say, beyond, you know, people think you're being, you know, casual or laid back about it, there's something powerful about that when it is fun to say, when it is simple. I always joke that, you know, a name has to pass the axis of easy. And I think that yours does that. You know, that is, you know, a name you want to say, a sticker you want to put on your laptop. Do you have laptop stickers? You totally should.
Not yet, but I actually just redid the logo, and it's totally stickerable.
That is a stickerable brand. That seems like there's content you can create around that. And, you know, as we're on this name segue, too, I also think with the Blogsmith, you talk about that being something more serious, more focused on best practices. And like the Blacksmith-esque name, as I say that in my head, I get the sound effects of, you know, someone at the blacksmith thing pounding and hammering there. So it feels like a workmanlike name there.
Yeah, and that's really what I was trying to go for with that name, you know, kind of the essence of creation, and, you know, that's what goes into all the content that I create. You know, it's part just working through it. It's part adding this creative edge. And so on the topic of branding, one thing that I'm starting to do with that content as well, just to make it a little bit more interesting and more, I guess, individualized to like what I add to the blogging world is, this is going to not seem like it's related, but I'm going to explain how it is related. So I like to do a lot of traveling, and one thing that always catches my eye is really cool street art. And I'm not talking about like people tagging their names, you know, things that are ugly. I'm talking about, you know, huge like murals that people have put together, and they're just so beautiful and so detailed. So I've started to add that element of branding to some of my blog posts, but actually I'm sort of going through a mini rebrand for the Blogsmith, where that's also going to be a part of the logo, that street art inspired sort of factor. And, you know, I think as an attest to the fact that I chose Chicago Cheap Ass for my blog name, I'm a little bit rough around the edges, but at the same time, you know, what you see is what you get. I'm not, there's no surprises. That's just how I am. And so that's kind of what I wanted to add to the blogsmith too, that sort of rough around the edges, but creative, push the envelope sort of feel. And so, you know, within the next coming months, that's what the web identity is going to become, that more street art, you know, graphic sort of inspired look and feel.
Well, you say rough around the edges. And I also think, you know, the other side of, you know, kind of accessible naming and branding, I also think sometimes there's some bad work done in the name of good branding that is too cute. I mean, all of the bad, I'm sorry, anyone listening, bad tech startups with their, let's pull the vowels out of a commonplace word and, you know, make it end with a hard R, or, you know, come up with, like, even with Chicago cheap-assed, you know, the Chicagoist, or I'm sure there's something called that, so.
Oh, there does, yes.
And, you know, something that it's like, you know, I know what that is. It's a Chicago deal site. And I also think that that point of view, that personality, is kind of comes baked in with that kind of naming as well. So when you talk about, you know, your work on the blogsmith side of things, talking about best practices, talking about blogging, do you run into people out there that are like, okay, I want to build my business, I want to build my brand, why are you talking to me about blogging? Do you have to make a case for blogging here in 2016 by people saying, you know, that's not Snapchat, that's not... That's not Blab. That's not all of these other things that I'm being told that I have to care about. Why blogging still?
Sure. Yeah. So I honestly thought it would be a lot harder than it is to convince people that blogging is something that needs to be done to be effective in online marketing. But what I've found is people are pretty ready to be convinced. And maybe that's an attest to the fact that I have a sales background. But at the same time, I think it's kind of reached a critical mass of sorts. It's not weird to have a blog anymore. It's pretty normal. So people just want to hear what they can expect, I guess, as far as what changes will happen if they implement a blog. And then after that, you know, the proof's in the pudding. If they see more people coming to their website, if they track, you know, conversions and sales from that point, then it really just speaks for itself.
And as you talk about what changes they can expect, are you talking about on the results side?
I'm talking about first
changes
of all,
in blogging here in 2016.
Oh, just I was talking from a results side of things. But I think that 2016 is definitely the year of the blog, because like I said, it's kind of reached this critical mass where it's not weird anymore. It's kind of a commonplace thing for a company to have.
Well, yeah. And it's also one of those things that is still, I mean, I think with social media, companies can, I'm not saying it's easy by any stretch, but can get up to speed and, you know, kind of feed and water that. You know, you can almost, I don't want to seem to be reinforcing a casual relationship with social media, but I also think they are skills that we can find. But I do think that blogging is still one of those things that is important. You're absolutely right in saying that a company blog is, I think, is less a, oh, I need that, of, oh, that's a thing that we don't have and we better make sure that we do.
Sure.
But it's still one of those skill sets that internally I don't think we are set up internally for.
Sure. I mean, and I think part of the problem between a company wanting to hire a blogger and a blogger finding a company that they want to blog for is a lot of like the freelance opportunities I've come across are what people, I guess, in the industry call content mills. And so it's people saying, yeah, I'll pay you $5 for 1,000 words. It's like, you could kill yourself trying to get enough money to pay rent off something like that. And you really have to hold out for the sort of unicorn jobs where you actually get paid what you're worth and what your time is, you know, worth, and the research and effort. And, you know, we can get into the semantics of what expertise is worth. But right now there's a little bit of a disconnect, I would say, between what a quality article is worth and what someone has kind of been conditioned to pay for it.
It's really interesting because as I heard myself kind of set you up for that question and say, well, save, you know, what's the answer to blogging still? And the other thing, it seems like blogging is sometimes the latest generation of, I think, what we as marketers kind of mistreat or are quick to say. I always love the Portlandia sketch, you know, it's over. You know, because we want to talk about all the new fun stuff because we like the new fun stuff. And I feel like email was the thing before blogging that we were quick to say, it's over. And this disconnect that you're talking about, though, I think is huge, too, because the same stuff in terms of the cheap providers, the $5 for 1,000 words, the cookie cutter email newsletters. And it's like the other side of the disconnect is I think sometimes people, even brand side here, okay, I got to do this. I got to get a lot of blog content, a lot of email newsletters. And so that's why they fall prey to these kind of content mills out there. Mm-hmm. And I think too often what we hear as marketers is with all of this stuff we need to be doing is that more is better. And I feel like I say this about every other day these days, and more isn't always better. Sometimes more is just more. And when we look at how much content we're creating, when we look at the fact, Google's Eric Schmidt says we create, few years, basically the internet doubles itself. And at some point we're going to exceed eyeballs as all of us marketers turn our content up to 11. So instead of just, buying that canned stuff of sending out an email newsletter about the leaves are changing and seasonal recipes and stuff like that, if you can find stuff that is, instead of sending more email, what if you found a way to make your email really unique as well?
Yeah. And, on that topic, one of the talks from your social brand forum that really resonated with me was Mark Schaefer's about the fact that, there is more content that's constantly being created, but we're also spending more time consuming it. And it gets to that point where it's like, well, I have to sleep, I have to eat, I have to cut it off somewhere. And so it's important to be putting quality content out there, because now anything that's not quality is just going to get pushed to the bottom. And it's like, it's not even worth creating it if nobody's ever going to see it, right?
Well, absolutely. I think that more of us kind of need to get our heads around that instead of just turning everything up to 11 and, stamping this stuff out. I mean, you talked about a content mill. I mean, when we have that kind of factory mindset to creating something that is really unique, that serves, there was another quote that I always use in my classes talking about the best content, that it's business centric and customer aware.
Yeah.
And I think if it accomplishes an objective for your business, for your brand, but also meets some kind of need in the marketplace. I mean, we also, kind of the meta world of this, we're all, as marketers, creating marketing content. And I think that is some of the most saturated stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like the free ebooks and white papers.
Oh, gosh. I know. Hurry, get the ebook done. And it's like, why? Sometimes. And I think that that's why you have to find something. I mean, that's, I think, some of the toughest stuff. And that's also why I think, we're being kind of a dark horse kind of infomercial about the social brand forum. But one of my other favorite things, but it's on topic here, was Scott Monte. And not so much what he said there, but one of the best email newsletters out there, we're talking about email, talking about content, is Scott's weekly email, which, speaking of clever branding, he had a not as memorable name before. but has changed it to, when your name is Scott Monty, he calls it the Full Monty. So, but it is, it's an email that I keep, and I get so many marketing emails because what Scott does is all of the news that's out there on all of this stuff, he has one of the best curated emails out there. Stuff on the different platforms, on content, on things like blogging, on, you know, corporate culture type things. But it's like the four or five best articles. And it's like, because absolutely, like you said, we have to sleep. And it's like, I like to have some not looking at my phone time. That's why I still read paper books. That's why I love when someone smart will curate it for me. And I think that it's content in many different forms.
Yeah, I think curation is super important for any brand, really. You know, especially on my own personal channels for social media, I try to make sure that most of the content that I share is not my own because, you know, A, people are going to get tired of hearing about me eventually, but B, there's so many other smart people out there who know way more than I do about the subjects that I'm interested in. So it's definitely an important part of any branding strategy, as well as blogging too, because when you're creating articles, you want to draw in those expert outside sources, obviously depending on the topic, but it is good to have that expert, you know, outside source just to add relevance and, you know, that sort of edge to the things that you're creating.
Absolutely. So in your work, do you find yourself being kind of the anti-content mill? And if so, what does that look like, that kind of smart, scrappy, external relationship that you can have that isn't just, here's your 1,000 words. Unless that is what you're like, and I've delivered you a horrible insult just now.
No, not at all. So I try to look. I'll give you the example of I write for a lot of different Chicago blogs for different organizations, and as part of my writing process, obviously I like to see what's already out there, do some competitive research, so to say. And, you know, it's easy to see with all these different Chicago blogs and content, it's easy to see what people really like. And it's also easy to see what's really overdone. So if there's a topic that I'm interested in, but it's already been done, I always try to look for a unique way to go about it that isn't just repeating what everyone else has said. So that's kind of what I try to take into all my blogging work. It's definitely taking a look at what else is out there, but also seeing where I can fit in that's totally different than what's been done.
Well, it's directly related to what we were talking to before, because I think scanning that and looking for, like you said, where you can fit in, I think is a step that too many aren't doing. I know what I can do. We can do our stuff, our version of this. And I think of it as kind of Me Too content. And sure. I wish I had a more sophisticated sourcing of a quote. But as you know, I have a million children. And so I watch a lot of kids' movies. And there was one out a few, it was probably longer time ago than that, called Robots. And kind of an inventor inventing subplot in there. And the phrase in there was see a need, fill a need. And I think that more of us should have that kind of approach with our content.
Oh, definitely. Especially, you know, to draw on another side of the businesses that I work with. I work with a lot of small business providers. So two examples that come to mind are a guy who does carpet cleaning and then a guy who does massage therapy. And they both fit like very specific niches as well as obviously very specific geographical areas. And so part of coming up with content for them is what questions do people have when they're about to decide on a service provider in one of these two areas? You know, how can we answer those questions in the content we're creating, and how can we also phrase it so that people who are actively seeking a new provider will be drawn in by search results.
Yeah, that is interesting, because there are, I mean, especially, you know, as things kind of reset, we're still hyper-local, but it's very different to be a local business now, and it is much more of a content-driven game than it used to be, especially in a big urban area like Chicago as well. Now, one thing that I'm thinking of as you are talking about scanning, finding a need, finding, you know, some of these common denominators like service, when you are creating content and responsible for content for so many of these small businesses, I would have to imagine that brand voice is a big part of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the brands that I work with that have a style guide already written out, although that is definitely a rarity. So part of what I do when I'm surveying content that I want to create and doing my background research before I write the article is seeing what else, if they don't have a blog, then maybe just looking at the content that's already on their website in terms of sales pages, you know, general content like that, and also looking at their social media presence, because that's usually a pretty good indicator of a voice, you know, in short spurts. So it's trial and error. Sometimes when I have a new client, there's definitely, you know, that 1 or 2 week first working together where we work through the kinks, like, you know, them coming back to me and saying, oh, this isn't necessarily what we would say, but noting that for the next time and just kind of building on that.
Yeah. No, I think too, I think the style guide is a rarity. And if it is, there's, you know, usually your loving kind of brand police type style guides that, you know, are just going to give you the logo formats and how you're not supposed to have text this close to them or things like that, as opposed to things that are talking about what are some of the important aspects of this brand's voice. And I also think when you can lay that out in longer form content, it can have an effect where it filters out to other forms, other social media and other things as well.
Definitely.
So what else do you think are some of the big content challenges that the businesses that you're working with have, especially as visual? As you know, you talk about the work of being, again, I've seen too many Iron Man movies, so I have the I have the iron pounding sounds in my head every time I say the blogsmith. It's kind of a superhero name too, so you know, I'm sure, you know, you might have to check. Maybe there was a Marvel superhero that was the blogsmith.
Yeah, probably.
Or I'm at least envisioning an updated photo of you with sort of some of that superhero type branding also.
That may need to happen.
But in thinking about that, you know, we've been heavy on the writing side of this as well. And 1,000 words, which you're not. But as visual as social media is, and another way that so many small, scrappy brands are taxed beyond the writing of all of this is we need visual assets, both in terms of helping our blog content stand out, but then to kind of give that wings so that when it's shared elsewhere, so that it can be engaging when it's shared on Facebook, when it's not just a, you know, you drop a post without visuals in there and it doesn't look too pretty.
Right. Yeah, I would say that's a quick way to make sure that nobody reads your content.
Yeah.
So in terms of elements of importance, I'd say probably the single most important factor in making sure your content gets read is the headline. And then if I had to say the second most important thing, it would definitely be whatever visual you're using to promote it. And not just having a great visual, but also making sure that it fits the sort of image specifications on the different networks that you share it on. So if you're sharing something on Facebook, the image should be different than what you're sharing on Pinterest. And then if you're going to be promoting it on Instagram, obviously that's a totally different size as well. So images are important, and it can be hard for a small business owner or someone who just doesn't really have a lot of time to devote to the blog side of things to create, you know, image branding that is consistent. So like I was saying, for the Blogsmith, what I've done moving forward is I have all these pictures that I took from different trips that I've been on. And even now that I live in Chicago, there's plenty of additional material for me here as well, of different street art, graffiti situations that make really nice backdrops for the images that I'm creating, which for that, I really just add text on top of them. So if someone, I guess if a small business owner or, you know, whoever's creating blog content could kind of find some way to be consistent and simple, and if they could just shoot or, you know, purchase stock images that fit their brand that they can reuse, you know, add text to, that would be the simplest way to be effective with images, I think.
Well, there's...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's not an excuse to not have a good photo bank. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, in terms of we've all got a great camera in our pocket now. I mean, it used to be, oh, we don't have the right people out there. So, you know, if we can, you know, show, you know, whether it's business owners, employees, it's not that hard to coach on, go get some pictures like this. And here's a Dropbox folder where you can upload it to from your phone or email or text it to me or whomever. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that this can happen a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah, and I would say, too, like, if you're an e-commerce provider of some sort, there's no excuse for not having stock photography of your own products. So you can start there. You can build it up from there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, style it however you want. But it's more than likely that there are really easy options for creating and getting photography that are right in front of your face that don't need any special equipment.
Absolutely. Well, and it looks like, too, as we share more of this content on Facebook, it looks like they're opening up the... I forget the name of it now. It's escaping me. The publishing feature that they have for those instant articles that, you know, kind of take your blog content and instead of kind of showing you, you know, like you see with big publishers like the New York Times or Washington Post now, they give you that nice big image at the top and the nice text and looks really good on Facebook. So I think that I think that's probably going to be more and more important for us to do, too, is to make sure that we're feeding Facebook things that are going to look good on Facebook as well.
Right, right.
So as we start to wrap up a little bit, we always ask for a brand that has made you smile recently. So can you think of a brand that has brought a smile to your face?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and one that always makes me smile no matter what is BarkBox. So they make, for the people who might not know, they make these monthly subscription boxes that are tailored to the size of the dog that you have. And all their content is just goofy, like memes and videos. And yesterday I was reading this article. Initially, it almost made me cry, but then it made me smile at the end.
Rare almost cry smile here on the social brand, or on the On Brand podcast.
BarkBox is good at that, though. So it was about like this poor like pit bull dog whose owners just like abandoned him, and he like ran after the car that they let him out of until like he couldn't follow them anymore. So that was the cry part. And then this dog was brought to a local animal shelter, and within like 30 minutes of being at that animal shelter, he got adopted. So it was like a weird expression on my face, but at the end of the day, it was all good news.
That is a great story. And again, in their business, and I think it gets back to what we were talking about too, because that's a great example of the role of story too.
Definitely.
And I think that, you know, I would imagine that is something you know, that as I think about, and I get the sound effect of the blogsmith in my head again, I would think that, you know, helping kind of, I always, you know, in being in a similar role, consulting and coaching, I always say that, you know, sometimes our work is a lot like, it's a lot like we're mining, you know, that you kind of have to mine these stories out of the rock, that they're there. And so many businesses don't, they see them every day and they don't realize how special they are. And I think that's a great example of some successful mining that the folks over at BarkBox have done to pull that story out and to share it with the world, which we can do now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that you have to think about, you know, with that marketing voice in the back of your head. But story is very important. Just to, like, finish off that thought, I guess, I recently was involved with a charity run where I didn't necessarily have a personal connection to the cause that we were helping to fundraise for. But I used someone else's story, you know, someone that I met, someone that really inspired me to help fundraise money from my personal network for that cause. And I mean, after doing that, it was the most successful fundraising I've ever done. Not that I've done a lot, but we were able to raise over $500, which up until that point, I've probably never fundraised more than like $200 in my life. So the power of story is very effective when used correctly.
Is this that run that I've seen you posting on Facebook about?
Yeah, the Cupid Zondi run.
That I was going to say, back to your Chicago cheap-ass branding, when you have an attention-getting name, that's why I clumsily brought it, that run.
With the, that one run.
The thing with the underwear?
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's attention-getting, and that is a hell of a story, and too, and you can connect that to a great cause. It's pretty neat, too.
Exactly.
All righty, Maddie Osman, where can people go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
I'd say either Google Maddie Osman and you'll find a bunch of great stuff, or check out ChicagoCheapAss.com or the-blogsmith.com.
Awesome, and we will link up to all of those in our show notes. Maddie, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thanks, Nick.
Before we go, I'd like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Dewey Eric Jones gave a shout all the way from Wales, our strong UK listenership, Wales representing this week, gave us a shout for a recent episode on social video featuring Brian Fanzo. Dewey, thanks for listening. I'd love to make it over to Wales to do a Get Scrappy book event at some point. Maybe we can make that go. And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, feel free to give us a holler using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes and Stitcher, as well as RSS. You can find all of that info, as well as everything we've been talking about, over at BrandDrivenDigital.com. Speaking of iTunes, great reminder to head over there, give us a quick rating or review, help others find the show. And, of course, this podcast is brought to you by the aforementioned Social Brand Forum, attended by smart marketers like Maddie and others right here in the heart of the heartland, Iowa City, Iowa, September 22nd and 23rd. Learn from experts like Jay Baer, Joe Polizzi, Jenny Dietrich, and more. Listeners of the show get the best rate when they register using promo code ONBRAND at socialbrandforum.com. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.